I like the background for the ice cream.
The tartan?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Call the regular session of the meeting of February 7th, 2023 to order. We have resolution 23-111, moved by Counselor Hoskins, second by Counselor Ryland. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of the Keller does hereby reconvene into regular open session of council at
6:30.
6:30 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed. Resolution 23-112, moved by Counselor Ryland, second by Counselor Hoskins. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of the Keller does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held February the 7th, 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Start with respect and acknowledgement declaration. I'd like to begin by acknowledging that the land in which we gather is the traditional unceded territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. We'll start with the roll call.
Councilor Morley Hoskin.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Heckman.
Deputy Clerk Carly Britton.
Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general need for thereof? Hearing none, nothing for the public meeting tonight. Delegations and presentations. We'll start with 11.1, McKellar Township Public Library 2022 Annual Report and 2023 Budget. So who's coming forward? We have one mic, but both of you can come up.
For everyone who doesn't know me, my name is Terry Short. I'm the head librarian and CEO of the Keller Public Library. I'd like to welcome in the council. I'd also like to welcome Debbie to our community, or to our board. Okay, I hope you've all read my report. I'd like to give you the highlights of last year. Last year, we celebrated our 40th anniversary of the library with a party on July 2nd. We had over 100 plus people attend this event. We had cake and refreshments. We've come a long way since the cloakroom of the McKellar Schoolroom. At this event, we unveiled our honor tree. It was built and designed by my board chair, Debbie Woods. She did a wonderful job. This year at the McKellar Market, we had our first library ambassador, Summer Knight. She walked around the market promoting the library. She was a wonderful addition to our library this year. The highlight of our summer was hosting Tim Jeffries from the National Dinosaur Touring Museum. We also had two Indigenous-led workshops this year, medicine wheel teaching and Indigenous drumming. But our most popular event this year was Cooking with James. People are fighting to get into the class. We had to start doing two classes a month, and we were fully booked up until the end of March. Thank you for your time. Hope to see you at the library soon. Introduce my board chair, Debbie Woods.
Good evening, Mayor Moore and councilors. As Terry said, I'm Debbie Woods. I'm the chair from the Keller Library Board, and I really appreciate you allowing us to come and speak to you tonight. And also, I'd like to thank you for all the support you've given to the library over the past 40 years. Terry did a great job highlighting the past year at the library, and now I'll move the discussion ahead to the present and the future. I'd like to draw your attention to a few of the documents included in your package for tonight. First is my annual report. As you can see there, we are still looking for two more people to serve on the library board. Secondly, though we've worked very hard on our policies over the last 2 years, one of them remains incomplete, our pay equity policy, and we need your help to complete it. It's incomplete because we have no male employees to serve as comparators. We're hoping that the township will create its own pay equity policy and will include library staff in that process. This will ensure fair pay for our staff and also will allow the board to complete its required policies. Next, I'd like to highlight the Army Land Acknowledgement Statement, which you can see printed in my report. It grew from a revision of our original statement, which was much like your own, and we feel it much more effectively expresses our intended commitment to reconciliation. We're sharing it here in case council or any committees would like to use part or all of it. My report refers next to our strategic plan, and I'll speak more about that in a few minutes. And finally, my report mentions our 2023 budget proposal. A few items require some explanation so that when you get to your own budget deliberations, you're not left wondering where we got these numbers. So to answer that, I have written a budget cover letter, which you also have there in your package. It explains the cost of living number that we used, the inflation rate we considered, and the total amount of municipal funding that we're seeking. And that total number is on in the letter and on our budget sheet itself, which you also have. The number on the wages line of our budget includes 8 extra paid hours a year beyond what we have currently to be used for training, such as training for new technologies and training that's required by provincial legislation. Most importantly, though, we want to explain why we chose to propose a budget deficit, which I don't think we've ever done before. We expect a few fairly large one-time purchases this year to meet the goals of our strategic plan. One will be publication costs for the anniversary book that our assistant librarian, Lynn Campbell, is working on. Another will be some new capital expenditures to enhance patrons' experience in the library. Rather than asking for extra municipal funding to cover these costs, we'll use some of the reserve that we've saved over the previous years to cover that deficit. Next year, with permission, we also hope to make some minor renovations to the library space, which you can see on the floor plan. There's a storage closet in the office area and another alcove in the back room of the library. We hope that those costs can be covered by grants that we intend to apply for in the fall. And finally, I'd love to show you our newly minted strategic plan. I know you have a digital copy, but we have made some sample print copies. So is it okay if I just give you a... They're book style.
Oh, book style. Oh.
You know, so they're just a little fancier than what comes off a computer printer. I think Debbie has seen it, but if you could give the other four councillors, the mayor and the other two councillors, one of the great things.
Thank you.
The plan was produced by a committee of the library board members and Terry over a period of 8 months, with help from a consultant from Ontario Library Service at no cost to the library or to the township. We used input from 2 surveys of our local public, Canada Census data, our own library statistics, library staff, and board members. The plan celebrates the treasure that the library already is and points the way to what we envision for the future, a future with an even more welcoming space stocked with excellent collections, e-collections, non-book items, and fun tech tools. A future with improved communication, increased community engagement, and outreach to underserved areas of our municipality. After we completed our plan, we received this note from Jessie Roberts, the consultant who guided us. She said, "I want to commend you as a steering committee on the high-quality work you have produced here. The plan you have developed is inspiring and relatable in all the best ways, and I sincerely hope it will provide you with valuable direction in the years to come." She goes on to ask our permission for the Ontario Library Service to share the plan and use it as an example for future projects, to share it with other small libraries looking for ideas, and to add it to the list of examples of strategic plans in their files and on their website. Of course, we were very grateful to receive such high praise, and we hope that you will also enjoy reading it if you haven't had a chance already. Thanks for listening to our presentation.
Great. Thank you. Might be some questions.
Yes.
I'm just interested in, you mentioned reserves.
Yeah.
Is there any figure for that at this point? Or
it's It's more than $30,000. I don't have the exact figure.
Okay. And the you mentioned, at least you're not asking for expansion of the library. We went through that before. We, as you say, we started with the cloakroom at the school, and then we went to the community hub, and even that was extended then when the building was expanded.
That's right.
And we were the forerunners, I think, many in the area. And since then, some of them have gone out on their own with their own buildings. So you're not looking for expansion. You're just rearranging.
Yeah. We're just trying to make the space we have a bit more functional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one other question about, you mentioned, I guess, advancements too, because it's not just books anymore, obviously, it's technology as well.
That's right.
How many computers at this point do people have access to?
We have five.
Five? And do you see that expanding at all, or are there services technologically? I'm just thinking of Whitestone certainly has been promoting their services, and they're even calling it a different thing. They're not even calling it a library, I don't think, but...
They are, yeah, I think they call it Technology Center now.
Right.
Yeah. Our new arrangement, our new floor plan, will have room for six computers instead of five. And also, the second alcove is meant to be an anchor space. A lot of libraries are having these anchor spaces where you can have... Well, one item that many libraries have that we've looked at is called a Cricut, and you need a computer to run that. You make a pattern on the computer, and then you hook it actually wirelessly to the Cricut, and it's it cuts vinyl, it makes stickers, and people do artwork, and one of our board members has one and does all kinds of really cool things, like she can put designs on a cup or make birthday cards or a whole huge variety of things. I know my aunt has one, and she makes hats with logo on it. So that's one thing, and so we'd need another computer in that space. And then a lot of people are looking for 3D printers, so we're looking at that. And then just some smaller tech, like, I don't know, label makers. And we're really looking for input, though, on what people would want in a maker space, but those are some of the things that we've thought of so far.
Well, it's excellent. I'm looking at some of the lists that didn't know what it had to do with liability, perhaps. I noticed soldering and different things that were listed there, and is that a consideration, or do you worry about that?
We worry about that. Terry did bring the liability thing up because somebody had suggested wood burning, so yeah, we might steer clear of things that could hurt people.
Yes. And your number they have for the Wi-Fi, the access, that's available to the public? I noticed it's posted outside, I think.
Yeah, it's free to everyone.
So they're well aware of it. It's on your site as well?
Yes.
The website? Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but Terry has signed the library up for another, the next level in Wi-Fi. So it's called Connecting Libraries. The Ontario Library Service has an arrangement where they pay for infrastructure, and then we sign up for a plan from the provider. But I think it requires high speed to be available, in the vicinity before they can hook us up.
They're trying to figure out ways for this, for smaller libraries to have better internet service. And so I don't remember what the company is. Basically, they're, researching ways of making it so that we can actually get better internet service. And it's actually cheaper than what we're paying for now, which is really good.
For the monthly rate.
For the monthly rate, yeah.
Excellent. We'll have to look into that program because we're in that situation right now investigating it. As you know, our Zoom has been down for a while, and we're looking at service providers and trying to get it back up again. So that's an interesting program.
Yes.
How much are you? Sorry.
Actually, that's my question as well. I thought the whole community center complex was being provided with internet connectivity through the township's internet provider.
No, we're separate from the township.
Okay. And who's the internet provider?
Right now it's Vinet, When we upgrade, it'll change to somebody else.
Are you having issues with VNet?
Yeah, sometimes it's slow. It's when there are so many users on, people bring their own devices to the library, and so when a lot of people are on, it's they really can't handle that, and it gets really slow.
So probably this will be a discussion that we can have as a council, that the internet provider that we choose to choose in the future, that that the library may be part of that conversation as well?
Yes, definitely.
I think that was the idea when the building was put up, actually, that to be a community hub and be all connected so that you didn't have to travel far. You could access the library, the seniors could use the community center, council chambers, and so that'd be good.
For sure.
Okay. Any other questions from council?
I have a couple of comments. I've been here to a couple events with my grandkids who live in McKellar as well, and they absolutely loved coming to the library, still do. And my granddaughter, who's six, came to one of the Cooking with James things and was absolutely thrilled and would bounce off the walls for like a week because she was like an adult and got to go and do things and make her own food. I don't recall what food, but she was just wired from doing that. So that was just outstanding.
Are you bringing your grandchildren to the youth workshop on Saturday?
I can't promise that. I've got some things I'm juggling at the moment, but yes, if I can, they would love it. Don't get me wrong. I might be able to get my granddaughter on a break anyhow. So, but it was great. Thank you. Thank you for everything you do. That's outstanding. So,
thank you.
Can I just have one of...
We'll just get your name for the recording.
Oh, Lynn Ellsworth.
Thank you.
Starlink, like, has the town ever looked in, like, would that work for... I know it's hard to get...
We're in the process.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have resolution
23-113,
moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation Township of McKellar has hereby received a deputation from Debbie Woods, Chair of the McKellar Township Public Library Board, and Terry Sharp, Librarian and CEO of the McKellar Township Public Library. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Deputation 11.2, Georgian Bay Biosphere for Ice Cap, and Rebecca Pollock. First couple, oh, you're forward already. Okay.
Wonderful. I've just joined you. We put on the timer here. We want our 10 minutes. All right, good evening. My name is Rebecca Pollock. Please call me Becky. It's a pleasure to be back here in front of McKellar Council. It's been a few months, I think. I drove over tonight from my home in Nobel, but I'm the executive director of the Georgian Bay Biosphere. And tonight, I've been asked by the ICECAP partnership to present on their behalf. So it's not a presentation about the Georgian Bay Biosphere. I can come another time. It's really to summarize for information purposes and give you an update on the workings of the ICECAP initiative. And I did want to say there's no financial request associated with this presentation. My colleague, Ben John, has been in touch with Mayor and Councillor Ryland about a future meeting. So today he was in Whitestone and spent an hour with the Environment Committee, for example. He's happy to do that with you. Great. So what is ICECAP? Let's just jump right in. ICECAP is a partnership, the Integrated Community Energy and Climate Action Plans Partnership between all municipalities and First Nations. All have been invited, located in and around the Georgian Bay Biosphere region, for the purpose of collaborative, more cost-effective approach to energy management and reducing greenhouse gases. And we look at that for your operations as a township, but also for your community and the broader region. So we're looking at both energy and reducing costs of energy, and looking at climate risks. So I'll go through those two things tonight. I think it's important to note that McKellar joined ICECAP in 2020, and ICECAP was only founded in 2019. So it is a formal partnership that's governed by an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, and Terms of Reference, and it's created and amended by the members of the partnership. We did, if you could go back just one slide, please, to the members, thanks. There is an MOU in terms of reference in your package, I've been told, which is reviewed on a regular basis by the voting members. And so McKellar stands now as a voting member, along with 10 other members. We're really proud to say that it's grown so quickly with interest from two First Nation communities, as well as the 8 municipalities and my own organization, which is a paying member. We are a voting member at the Biosphere, and we are delegated to coordinate the initiative on your behalf. So the membership is formally made up of appointed council liaisons, I guess, as well as sometimes a staff appointment. So when we meet as IceCount members, often a township will send a counselor and a staff member. And sometimes that's from Public Works or Planning Department or Clerk or any of the, or CAO. So that works really well for us. Our next meeting is coming up in February 15th. It's important to say that in addition to voting members at this table, we have a network of 30 to 60 partners, which include the major utilities like Lakeland and Hydro One. We work with the hospital and the health unit. We try to incorporate research institutions. Georgian College is doing a study for us right now. So it's really a way of saying what's happening in the Georgian Bay Biosphere region and how can we work together. It's just that simple. Next, please. So the IceCount model financially, everyone wants to know what's the funding formula, and the formula is created on an annual basis, and it's based on your needs, because no two municipalities have the same needs, nor do you have the same energy costs or the same buildings and infrastructure. We have to tailor this to your needs. So in addition to that structure, we look at an annual work plan. What does each member want to do, and what do we want to share collectively, like maybe public communications campaign. Could be a shared cost. And then we look at a budget approval. And this is done annually at typically a fall meeting, a business meeting, which has been deferred because of the election. So we'll be having that February 15th. Just to look at the pie chart for a moment, this is the approximation of the funding model. So McKellar is one of 8 municipalities. Georgian Bay Biosphere grants is the other major leverage to this, because often we can match your contribution one-to-one with federal or provincial grants. We also have some sponsorships, some First Nations contribution, and our own budget contribution as a member. Are there any questions on that division? Okay. In the past, it's been about an 8% contribution from McKellar.
No, that's how I was going to ask the breakdown of the 7 others.
I can give you that in the meeting that we have with the full work plan and budget, because it is a bit more of a multi-layered budget where some all members will buy into some services, but then only some will apply to McKellar. Okay. We work with you specifically on your needs. So that meeting can be scheduled really quickly. If you need the information, I can even forward you the draft budget and work plan, but of course it wouldn't have been approved yet until the 15th.
The other question with this, with the grants, Georgian Bay Biosphere, I was just at a meeting of the Collaborative for the Economic Development, and their grants are cut off as of the end of this year. CINO is not giving any more money, so they're going back to the municipalities to fund the whole program, whatever it looks like. How secure, I guess, are these grants? These are coming from the government, I assume, or there are other sources, perhaps, but...
There's two ways we work it. One is that we subsidize the program with our own provincial intern or federal intern, NOHFC intern, FITNOR intern. These are programs that are annual programs for us. We carry 2 interns at a time, and we give part of one to the ICECAT project. So that is secure in that salary. The others are more opportunistic in terms of what is the flavor of the year for the provincial or federal government. So, for example, we have currently applied for $160,000 to Natural Resources Canada. It's pending. It's looking very positive. We'll have formal announcement. So these are budgets that we try to... The overall regional budget for ICECAP has been in the order of $100,000 to $160,000 a year, which is a fraction of what it really should be to do climate work. The city of Barrie spends $160,000 a year, you know... So we're trying to do everything on a shoestring, and I think it's working for members so far. The budget shrinks as resources shrink. We can basically do less with less, and we do more with more. So this pie is, there's a percentage that's locked into an amount, but as soon as new money comes in, that basically offsets your contribution. So at the end of the year, you could get money back, or you could just pay it forward like the members did last year. There's about $1,000 each member to pay forward into the rollover into the budget. So as I said, the budgeting process is done best one-on-one with each council to meet their needs. That number then goes to the whole group, and we say, is this fair and good? Can we approve it? And of course, they can't approve anything. They just approve the amounts to bring back to council table. Okay. Yeah. So thanks for that. Next. Super. So when we talk about climate action, I know people have different opinions about climate change and climate science, but I want to focus on two things. One is the energy management side, sometimes called mitigation. That's getting our greenhouse gases down, but at the same time, it's getting our costs down. Some of these buildings are quite inefficient. We're looking at a small community center in the township of Archipelago, Point of Barrel. It's driven by like diesel. We gotta get rid of that. That's just, it's just burning money, right? So we're looking at infrastructure from energy management. Where can we, the low-hanging fruit, what are the things we can do right away with your buildings, your corporate fleet, for example, your fleet replacement plans, and also just general waste. I know Carling Township has a zero waste project that they're trying, and Sequin has been promoting composting. So these all fit in to that energy management and mitigation side. They lower GHGs, they lower your costs. The other side really is what I'm talking to my neighbors about when we're getting hit by severe storms, we're losing power, our insurance is going up, and it's all about the adaptation to climate because it's only going to get worse and more severe. So this is things like floodplain mapping with all area municipalities. I know that there's a risk management team. There's an a public works, intermunicipal public works group that can try to plan together, and we can support that. Next, please. So let me just, I'm running out of time. I wanted to say that if we don't reinvent the wheel, we can also be more effective. So we've chosen the Partners for Climate Protection program, the PCP program, which is a national program operated by who you'll know as the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, FCM, big funder for infrastructure and green buildings. So the PCP program has been operating for close to a decade. It has 500 municipal members. So McKellar is one of those 500 members across the country that are going through these five steps. Five milestones, and McKellar has almost completed milestone one, which is we did a baseline emissions inventory, your greenhouse gas emissions. What were your corporate emissions, and what were they in the community? And I'll show you that next. But then we're working on milestone two and three for you right now and into the coming fiscal year. Next. So your progress, just to summarize where we are now, is that in 2021, we did start milestone two and three, which is really take that emissions inventory, how much carbon pollution there is, how much cost, how do we reduce them, and we create a plan, an action plan. That takes a long time because there's so much number crunching, and we're just doing it really carefully for each municipality. We don't want to give you just a cookie cutter. It's tailored to every one of your fleets, your asset management over time, your building costs, your major infrastructure, and your capital wish list. So that's where we are today. Next. What we did in the past was we looked at every one of your corporate energy categories in terms of electricity, propane, fuel oil, gasoline, and diesel, if they were applicable. And then we totaled your emissions as 243 tons of carbon dioxide emissions. And these come from, in Canada, three very typical areas: your transportation, your fleet, your buildings and facilities, and your waste. That's solid waste going to the landfill, and it releases methane, a very powerful gas. We want to get that waste down even though it's small. And some of the townships will have a streetlights contribution. So that's our analysis. Next slide. We did it for every one of the members in ICECAP, and you can see that Prairie Sound is really the only one that has water and wastewater energy costs because of the water treatment plant. But on the whole, these are very similar patterns. Heavy use of, energy for fleets, for driving around your trucks and cars and plows, I guess. And that's a typical profile for an Ontario municipality. Next. But if we looked at your whole community, it's a bit of a different story because, of course, corporate emissions here at McKellar, we're a very small part of what is the whole community's contribution. The water-based communities like Township of Archipelago, even McKellar, Carling, Seguin, you're seeing a lot more waterborne transportation. We're the first project in Canada to calculate the impact of motorboats. It's quite fun how many people are phoning our office and saying, can we get a copy of your waterborne transportation emissions? We want to do it across the country. So this is the profile that we've got for Milestone 1. Next. And then we're moving forward with you on these two things, the energy side and that climate risk side. So the energy management, we're looking at everything from efficiency, that low-hanging fruit, energy conservation projects and incentives, funding that we can get for you. The fuel switching is maybe looking at your fleet and seeing what you might replace, but also for the community, whether there's a room for partnerships with utilities that might do like electric vehicle charging. There's also renewable energy generation conversations happening across the region about whether there's a place for solar fields, rooftop solar, like at the Carling Arena, and so on. Thanks. On the risk management side, this is more of a new area for me personally, but we're working with experts and researchers that are starting to create flood maps, risk areas, heat stress, wildfire mapping, and looking at water levels, which are affected because of higher evaporation in the winter. And just to say that any dollar of investment in resilient infrastructure has turned out to return a $6 investment in terms of averting those losses later on. So it really is about planning sort of that rainy day fund, but investing now in good infrastructure. To summarize, I'll just finish by saying we see immense benefits to working with us with ICECAP. For the township itself, there's that cost sharing and collaboration, the energy cost savings, of course, but having these plans will unlock funding. At the moment, there's federal and provincial opportunities that if you can show them a climate action plan that we're developing for you, that will make you eligible. And there's a number of others. For the community side, we're hearing more and more, and we did a survey. We had 600 people take our climate action survey, and about 100 were from McKellar. And they said, we really want to do more. We want to do more. We're concerned about the costs to us as ratepayers, but we want to do more. And so we're planning to do that. Next, please. We want to invite all of you to our stakeholder, ICECAP stakeholder meeting. Again, that's the 15th from 10 to 11:30, only on Zoom. It'll be chaired by our current ICECAP chair, Forrest Pengra, representing the Township of Seguin. But there is a co-chair vacancy, so I urge McKellar to consider that. We'll be presenting in detail the annual work plan and budget, and with the group's approval, we'll bring that back to area councils as a budget request. You can reach out to anyone through your municipal office or to B. John. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. There may be some questions.
I don't know where to start. I know, Becky, that we've had a rocky road with funding being funding requests, I'll say, from ICECAP being more than McKellar has paid. There's been a lot of misunderstanding. I've only been on council for 15 months. I anecdotally know that the previous mayor attended whatever the initial ICECAP presentations were. And as far as I know, didn't bring it back to council, certainly not during my tenure anyhow. And as a consequence, one of the issues has been that we have been underfunding the expected contributions anyhow. And I know last year that there was a request for $14,500 and we only paid $8,000 of that. And there's some misunderstanding for sure at our end, including at least partially from council. The other thing that happened is that I'm on the Environment Committee for the Township as well, and I know you have talked with Jennifer and others from that, at least I think so anyhow, or David Bywater, possibly. In any event, this did not start out being part of the Environment Committee, and when it became an issue, I'll use that a polite word, then it was kind of added to our mandate for the committee, and again, misunderstood and things like that. There is a couple of other people that I would like to have been here, but none of them are in town at this moment. Some of them are out of the country, so I can't say. I know it hasn't been well understood or well handled, and I would look for an opportunity to gain a better understanding of that, because I'm sure it caused some ill will anyhow, but I hope that's not true, and I hope we can fix it anyhow. So, but yeah, I value what you're doing. I think there's some great things here, especially if you can find us some funding opportunities. That would be really beneficial for us as well. So, but and I acknowledge that it's been, I don't know what to call it, just round and round we go in terms of trying to have a meeting with David. So, anyhow.
Sure, I think it would benefit the new council to wipe the slate clean a little bit,
sure.
Correct the understanding foundation that we want to move forward from.
Yeah.
I think we're really keen to work with McKellar, and in our meetings with staff that we've had about 6 meetings with Public Works lately in each township, we've said to them, what is your capital wish list? What is going forward to your councils that we can support you with? Mm-hmm. If we know that you're interested in certain projects, whether it's new culverts for flooding or whether it's new, you know, everyone's changed their streetlights, but specific projects like that, and I know that there's even things that we can help with in terms of procurement policies, if we have a template that can be shared. So I think the benefits are quite possible. It's around clarifying the expectations, roles, responsibilities of those involved. Sometimes communications get crossed. So as soon as you're available, we'll make ourselves available. And if it's an environment committee, we'll come to that. If it's a smaller meeting or with staff, we can come to that. We'll come to 5. We really appreciate working with
Councilor Kelly. Do you like to hear a question?
No.
No? Okay. Just tied in with this, I guess. And again, I'm new to all of this, but my understanding of the funding is that it's not your department necessarily. You're here on behalf of Georgia Bay, but you're...
I'm a spokesperson. Nice, yeah.
But I think that's where the confusion came in, because it was 8,000 and suddenly jumped to 14,000 in 1 year.
14.5, yeah.
And I'm not sure how that happened or what we got for that increase. And I think that's one of the things that has to be clarified. As far as with the environmental committee, I think they'll have to come back to council too, and maybe it should be taken away from that committee. I don't know how it got there. And maybe it should just be dealt with.
It was treated.
Yeah.
Or not, as the case may be. So,
I guess the other question on all of this is most of your information that you collected and put into chart form came from our
milestone one.
Director of Operations? Or?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we worked with your staff extensively. Many, many documents were shared. I mean, it's provincial legislation. Municipalities are required to report on their emissions and their energy use. So that should be on every municipality's website. If it's not, because many townships are quite overburdened, let's say, staff can't get to it in a given year, then we work one-on-one with staff. So I feel like we've got everything we need to move forward, but if you need to see the deliverables and what your money's bought, we should bring that back to you. And we can present the entire analysis, if that would be helpful. We can present milestone 2 and 3. I think it's really important to break down the costs for everyone. Really.
I agree. I mean, then that's the sore point. I mean,
yeah.
To be brutally honest, the question that I've been asked is, what are we getting for our money?
But yes, I couldn't agree more. That's the clarity we need. And when there's too many messengers, I think it gets lost.
I do, yeah.
So I'll wait for you to contact us about your availability, and we'll bring all the materials necessary.
Okay. The other question, you mentioned you work with the hospital, and I'm just wondering there, are they partners to all of this? Because I'm looking at the large employers in the area and what they're doing to mitigate, and I'm thinking of education, for instance, and I'm thinking of hospitals, and I'm thinking of the new pool.
Yes.
I'm just asking,
yes.
Is that all going to be considered?
Correct. We're consultants to all of those partners who are willing to sit at the table and have an energy conversation. In the case of the hospital, it's a new conversation, but the school board has been there a long time because of the new school design. I've been on that for over 8 years now, just advising as a green building consultant, free of charge, of course. I mean, we want to just do the right thing. This is a legacy building. And likewise with the pool, I was on the citizens advisory for the pool for one reason, to make it a green building. It has to be cost effective. I mean, it should be net zero. We shouldn't have to pay maintenance fees year over year, right, to operate this thing if we can get it almost net zero. Who would, anyway, just personally, I think there's a lot of opportunity, and when the municipalities move forward as a collective, it's much more powerful to have those conversations, but we end up being siloed quite a lot, each, you know, doing their own piece. But yeah, there's tremendous opportunity for those just to be specific community projects. And like I said, we work with you on the corporate operations side, sort of in-house, and then we work with community projects. And one of them is bike lanes. One of them is electric bike chargers down at the town docks. We're working on a green bin pilot project with Sequin. If we can get the funding from Federation of Canadian Municipalities for a pilot study, we'll give out, you know, the first 250 families that want a green bin, and then we'll open up a digester to just compost at the transfer station or the landfill. So these are all projects that are underway in conversation. You know, from my perspective, it can be like herding cats, as you know. And if we can meet on February 15th and start a new year and a new council cycle, I think everyone will be on the same page. And if a council can't afford the proposed amount, they say, we can't afford the proposed amount, we'll do less. You have 10 years or so under the program to meet those five milestones. Some people will do them in 5 or 6 years. Some people will do them in 10. I think it's important to recognize that that's not scalable.
So well, that's good to hear, because we haven't talked budget yet, and we're a little frightened when we get to that point, because there's so many things coming at us from all angles.
Absolutely.
So.
We totally understand that. So let's start small, and then if we can get grants to match that, then we're on our way. And maybe there's, you know, a commitment, a small commitment for this year, and then we go forward the second year once we know more. Yeah. But we'll do our due diligence when you set up the meeting, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
One more question.
So yeah. So, anyways, I'm glad to hear that you've had an opportunity to provide some input to the pool project. Particularly, page 6, it says that service provision by Georgian Bay Biosphere advanced the adoption of best practices, particularly because the Sierra Club refers to traditional pools invoke the trifecta of environmental destruction, high water use, high energy use, and harmful chemicals. So I'm glad that the biosphere is hopefully providing some effective input in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
As well, I think it was the January 10th agenda, we had the aquatic environment report for Lake Manitowogan.
Correct, that's
and
the Environment Committee.
Yeah, so this was an excellent, thorough document, extensive, and I thought there was a lot of good information. I just wanted to, one thing I thought at some point we need to ensure is that the calcium concentrations in the lake are adequate, and if not, that if there's any ways we can increase the calcium indirectly and get some subsidies somehow to have that as well. One of the things that one of the universities reported was that if the Daphnia, if there's a good population of Daphnia, it reduces the chances of algae blooms.
Right.
So that, you know, I think it's important that that's one thing that we focus on. And in regards to the composting program, Parry Sound used to have a complex and extensive composting program.
Yes.
And if somehow that could be reinvigorated, or they could be encouraged to reinvigorate that, that other municipalities may want to participate because they had it down pat, the whole process. And I think instead of each individual municipality, because it's not as easy as just putting a compost pile, there's environmental regulations and change of environmental permits for waste disposal sites. So I think if one municipality, especially one that has the knowledge and experience, could take the lead on that, that would be helpful to all the municipalities. So those are just the main points there.
Thank you very much. I'll make all those notes and we'll get back to you. I think I have some ideas of what I can send through.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Resolution 23-114, moved by Councillor Hoskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received the deputation from Dr. Rebecca Pollack, Executive Director of the Georgia Bay Biosphere, on behalf of the Integrated Communities Energy and Climate Action Plans, ICECAP, Partnership.
Good night.
Good night.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
It wasn't me this time.
I looked in your direction.
Thank God.
That would have been strike three.
Yeah.
Got my hammer here today.
Yeah. Mike would have just thrown it at me. So.
And Resolution 23-115, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved the Council of Appropriation of the Township of Budzak McKellar does hereby move into Committee of the Whole at
7:15
p.m. to discuss the McKellar Market with Market Manager Jan Fitz. All questions, all in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, Jan?
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Okay.
Now, if you feel, if it's going to be lengthy, feel more comfortable just sitting, that's fine with us. And you want to use the microphone down there? Or
oh, I can come up here. It's fine.
Okay.
No, but if you want to come up with the table, you can too, Jan, if you want.
Okay.
I think that's what you meant.
That would be great. I did sit there last time and it worked out well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank Mayor Moore and the Council for inviting us to have this very important discussion about the McKellar Market, and I'd like to welcome Reg into the conversation. And so basically, on December the 20th, I believe it was, I was supposed to speak about my year-end report. I was on Zoom, but unfortunately, as we all know, Zoom went down, so I didn't get to discuss that. So I think that's a good starting point for this evening, is to start with the report. Okay. And if you have any questions, just ask me along the way. Okay, so the McKellar Market, we had two obstacles to overcome last year during our season. The first was with regards to a concerned public member with regards to parking, and the second was about with regards to relocating our market to the community center. So let's just start with the first one with regards to relocating the market. I felt strongly that the market needed to stay at Minerva Park because it had been there for, at that time, 12 years. We were going into our 13th summer in 2022. So I fought hard and spoke to the vendors and did a campaign on social media to have your say. And the feedback from the community members was in favor of our market staying at Minerva Park. And as you will note, we remained in Minerva Park last summer, and we had a fantastic summer. The next concern was brought up in an email from Ryan Herbrand on April the 6th. Greg Gostick, our public works director, forwarded to me that I wasn't made aware of this. I guess apparently in the September of the previous year, there was this concern brought up, but I was not made aware of this till April the 6th of the following year. And so we met here in council to discuss an alternative to approach the Ministry of Transportation to provide us with a land use permit so that we could stay in Minerva Park. And we were successful. I worked with Ryan Herbrand at the NTO to be able to secure the permit. And I have since spoken with Ryan in this year, and he's very happy and pleased with the management of the McKellar Market. And he has approved the MTO permit for this year. And they have waived the fees. And so the only thing that we have to do on our license permit this year is to change the dates for this operation season.
And that's about all that's required of us. And if anybody's interested in knowing what the McKellar Market had to do last year in order to meet the conditions of our license, there was 11 things that we had to meet the conditions of the license to be able to open our market last season. I don't know if you want me to read them out to you, or would you like a copy of this?
Probably a copy. We have a number of issues probably.
So. Yeah, it's quite long, that. So basically, okay, so anyhow, those were the two obstacles. Thankfully, we were able to overcome both, and we were able to have a fantastic 2022 season at Minerva Park. And we are scheduled to reopen Saturday, July 1st, which happens to be on Canada Day this year, which I'm very excited about. And we hope to also remain at Minerva Park. So some of the highlights about McKellar Market. At the McKellar Market, we like to get the community involved as much as we can. May it be fundraising for our local, Parry Sound Harbor Share, Parry Sound Salvation Army. We try to keep events, especially events, ongoing at the market. It makes our vendors excited. It makes our customers excited, and they're happy to be a part of that endeavor. I applaud the McKellar Fire. They have been absolutely amazing through the pandemic back in 2023. I guess it started in 2020, didn't it, the pandemic? So because of those folks, we've been able to keep our market going through the pandemic. A lot of that first year in 2020, like Parry Sound didn't even open up their market till the halfway through the season. So I'm very proud of McKellar that we got to open and guide the way for other communities, really. So throughout the summer, we're active. We fill the park every summer with vendors. Let me see here. I guess the highlight too is always the long weekends. So long weekends, Canada Day long weekend, Civic Day long weekend, and Labor Day weekend. Those are really busy weekends for us. And it shows both in the vendor volume and also in our volume of guests that come to our market. And so that's about it. I'm sure you've all had a chance to read the report. So I guess maybe why we're really here tonight is to talk about MTO permits, I understand. Is that correct, Mayor Moore?
The number of issues, I think, and I forwarded your email as well. So those topics of discussion,
yes.
You can just go through those. I think we all have them.
So. Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Okay, so my I sat down and really thought about tonight and what I was going to say and do and how I felt about everything. So the first thing was the MTO permit. So on January the 12th, 2023, I received an email from Ryan Herbrand, MTO, advising us he was pleased with the management of our market last year and that we would just need to update our land use permit for this year with new dates. And he put me in contact with Anna Long, she's an MTO in North Bay, to finalize our permit. Dates and other pertinent information have since been provided to the MTO. Conditions on the permit remain the same. Anna informed us permit fees would be waived, and Ryan also said the MTO does not promote parking along the shoulders of the highway for these events, and furthermore, for any events attracting large crowds require a land use permit. So that was what my feedback was from the MTO. Is there any questions?
I'm just wondering whether you've done any survey other townships, what they're running into, because I know Rosso runs one too, and I know it's a lower speed zone, but ours is only a 50 zone in that area too. I know it comes very quickly, and we're investigating that, but do you find this in other townships as well, that they can't park along the highway?
So to answer your question, Mayor Moore, I feel that McKellar, for some reason, which would stem back to the complaint that we received at I feel like we're kind of being targeted, and maybe we're supposed to set the example for good management on highway management. So I never got a chance to get to the Rosso Market last summer, so I did not witness what happens over there this year. But in previous years when I'm there, they're all parked up and down the highway, up the hill. You know, guests or people are opening doors on oncoming traffic, jaywalking across the street.
Yeah, it's still happening.
Okay, it's still happening.
Last year it was.
Okay, I never got over there last year, so I don't know. You know, our neighbors to Dunn Church, you know, they had a permit to even shut down the highway, although a short for their fall fair parade. I know, David, that you have worked with the MTO as well, I believe.
Oh, OPP.
Or the OPP to do the parade, right?
Yeah. Major headaches, yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know why, other than why McKellar's being targeted because of that one complaint, perhaps. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Okay.
And do you folks have any answers for me? Like, what we can do? We have to, for all large events that attract large crowds, we have to get these permits. That's my understanding.
I suppose at this point, we'll just have to continue to do it because we're on the radar, as you said, and we'll have to investigate certainly whether this is a policy throughout the province or whether we're just being targeted. Yes.
Do you mind if I answer?
Yeah.
Yes, well, we need somebody with connection. Yes, okay.
So for the record, my name is Robert Gibson. So like, I have been in touch with Ryan from the MTO when this all unfolded last year and stuff like that. And the law is the law, you know, to deal with it comes along the highway, Queens Highway corridors and stuff, when parking along highway, so they have to follow the law. And so instead of fighting or pushing back on that stuff, we decide that the best course of action would be to work with the MTO to get this permit in place. And the way to get the permit in place to satisfy his conditions was to ensure that no parking was along the side of the highway. And like, for a community such as McKellar, I understand that safety is probably one of our major concerns, making sure that nobody gets hurt when crossing the highway or parking along the side of the highway and stuff like that. But that is the condition of the under the Highway Traffic Act, is there's no parking along the side of a highway where large events are drawing lots of people to those events and stuff like that. So that's one of the conditions that they have too. Mm-hmm. So Ryan has the ability to waive what is in the conditions of those permits and stuff like that. So he can speak to that. He can basically say that we have to park somewhere else in the community, you know, type deal, make that a condition of the license, you know, type deal, or the permit. And once those conditions are there, then we have to follow them. And so that's where we're at with the McKellar right now, with parking with the market there. So
yeah, no, we can appreciate that. And it's just the inconsistencies, I guess, and I pointed that out to the OPP at the time too, because they're not treating everybody the same.
Yeah.
And if the law is the law, they should be enforcing everywhere, but they're not. So they can make concessions or turn a blind eye, and that's what bothers us more than anything.
It bothers Jan and stuff like that when she's trying to fight to keep that market going, and mm-hmm. she's very passionate about that. The market, you know, they deal with.
Yeah.
She wants to, again, make sure that her market is running safely, and that's our main concern. So. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Zula?
So, Jan, you still have to put the signage up on the road that there's no parking allowed there.
Yeah.
But it's not up to you to enforce that.
No,
if people wish to park there, you are not going to go out there and patrol it.
No, I can't. We cannot.
We have no authority.
We have no authority over that. What it acts as, Debbie, is it acts as an educational tool for the public.
Right.
But we cannot enforce that. But the parking lot attendees, They can encourage people to move up to that. We have additional parking at the community center.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're not going to deny you your permit because people are parking there as long as you have your signs out there. Because that's
right.
part of your agreement, right?
Right.
You have signage. So
yeah.
you can't go out there, like I said, and tell people that they can't park there. You've done your due diligence. You've put your signs up.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
And
yes,
so we've
very
asked,
much so.
So we've
yep.
asked anybody helping or assisting with the markets to just go up there and politely tell people to move on, in which people quite often want the market to see or remain so they do move on and cooperate for a while. So.
Yeah, so item 11, just to read it to you, signage must be installed on site by the permit holder for the operating hours of the market, deterring parking on the shoulder of the highway in both directions, as well as parking in the municipal lot across the street. There is no parking in the Public Works building anymore either. So we usually use our vehicle to just close that off. Yeah, so...
I like that word deterring. That's rather interesting that they threw that in because it doesn't say prevent or stop.
Yeah.
No, it's deterring.
Yeah, well, that's a selective word. We also have public... Reg had a comment. It's committee of the whole. So.
I'm just wondering if council or Jan have received any information from the MTO on the approval from the province for permanent signage. That's what they were discussing at the time. They said it was going to take about a year or so. So they...
To answer your question, Reg, I asked the same thing. You were at that meeting and I asked the same thing with regards to that, and I was under understanding that permanent signage, just like McDougal, would have been installed for this operating season, and I guess it's not happening. The legislation hasn't been passed through.
Right, so it's still with the province.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Add more information to that. The way I understand it is until there is permanent signage, the OPP can't even enforce your signage.
Correct.
Yeah, nobody can.
Correct.
Right.
You
okay.
are absolutely right, Reg. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of...
a bizarre situation.
I don't know. The only reason we're being targeted, I believe, is from that one... concern over the public.
Most things are complaint driven.
Yes, very much that.
Always
yeah.
complaint driven.
Very much so.
They just look the other way until somebody complains about it and then they have to do something.
Yeah, so. But
in my eyes, it doesn't hold any water as long as you can get your permit, you get your permit, right? And you have done what they ask you
yeah.
to do. That's not your problem that people are parking there.
So I'll read this to you on July the 12th. Hi, Jan. Yes, you will need a permit for the market again this year. It seems like the permit last year worked well, so we'll look to revise mainly the dates and ensure they are accurate, but maintain the terminology, which is the conditions of the license, in the permit. I have CC'd Anna Long to the email, and she will be assisting me. So I guess we're getting our permit to be at Minerva Park. And I'm very happy about that. I made sure that we had our permit that we were going to get our permit before I invited our vendors back. And this has been in the works since December, way back in December, I communicated with Ryan.
Okay, well, that's good.
And we have it in writing.
That's good.
We
to be
do.
Proactive, yes.
Yeah, we have it in writing. So, I was asked to submit all of the pertinent information, which I have a copy of it, that I submitted to Anna in North Bay. So I'm just waiting for the permit to come. I thanked Ryan for, you know, his cooperation in helping us get this permit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Nick?
Can you estimate how much time you spent on the permit last year?
When we started it last year, we were kind of taken back because it was all of a sudden it was dropped onto our plate and we had to look into it. So a lot of us going through, looking through legislation to ensure that, because sometimes an enforcement agency may make a wrong decision, no big deal, and we're wondering, like, we never heard of this before, we're just wondering if it was correct in legislation. So a lot of it was researching legislation to make sure that we're on the right foot and stuff like this, and sure enough, they were right, so we had to follow the...
Yeah, and then the process on the computer, Rob, how long did that take me? I don't know, I can't remember.
Well, all said and done.
So you have to get to...
To answer your question there, Nick, it's probably it was at least a couple of weeks, you know, going back and forth, talking to the individuals, and you know, as well as I know, talking to government agencies during COVID or a pandemic and stuff like that, the answers didn't come quickly, so it was...
painstaking.
You write an email and then...
And sleepless nights.
And you sit and wait for it to come back, you know, big deal. So that was some of the...
So from start to finish, it took a month. It took a month from start to finish. When I submitted my the permit, it took a month to get it back. And so that's fair to say. Yeah.
Okay, Brad?
I just had a quick question. Jan, I think it's just clarification. I was just reading your guidelines here, and the says the Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas markets are $30 each per market above the summer rate.
Yes.
So is it $30 or $30 plus the 15 for the summer rate? Or?
No, the summer rate's 150.
For 10 markets.
Yeah, I could give you the application here. So, here. Thanks, Carly, for running this off. So, right here, a full-time vendor rate is 150.
Yeah, that's
right. And then down here, it's Thanksgiving is $30 per booth above the seasonal rate. So if they want to partake in the summer season, they pay 150. But if they want to take and partake in two of our special markets, it goes up to 210 for the year.
Okay. No, I didn't really understand that. I was saying it was $45 for each one of them, summer and Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So there's the application.
Yeah. Okay, we have a list of topics there, so we'll go.
Transfers.
Yeah, so I just, we'll just leave the MTO as it is.
Yes, it sounds like it's unfolding as it should, so.
Yeah. Okay, so moving forward. So this year we introduced e-transfers on January the 5th. I was informed by Roshan, Township Treasurer, that all vendor applications will now be sent directly to me with no drop-offs at the office. I thanked Roshan and informed him that I was pleased with his directive. Note, with the new directive in place, I've been able to reduce my time, provide our vendors with up-to-date information, track our application numbers and revenues. With the new directive in place, I got to work, redesigned the vendor application, updated the market guidelines, implemented an e-transfer payment option in consultation with an associate financial advisor. Vendors have been asking for e-transfer payment options for a few years now. What would have taken several months and lots of phone calls and emails to office staff, we have now been able to expedite the process. Vendors are pleased with the new registration process and the addition of e-transfer. Results, I would say, I wrote here 90% e-transfer, 10 checks, and no cash. It should be noted that neighboring markets are accepting e-transfers and have been for a few years. And with the new directive in place, it has taken all responsibility off our busy admin staff, and I wanted to note to everyone that communication is key to run a successful event of this size, and by centralizing the applications, we now can provide excellent customer service to our vendors, plus a huge cost savings for the market.
You mentioned surrounding other markets. How are they operated? Are they operated through the municipality? Or?
So my understanding is McKellar is very unique, and we are the only municipality that actually has a market manager to foresee the entire operations of the market.
Okay, and so the others are operating on township property, but what are they renting?
Yes, yeah, so I spoke to the Seguin, I can't recall. I actually reached out to a few townships like Seguin for the Russell Market last year, and I said, hey, just a heads up about this MTO parking, right? I just can't remember her name.
Dominic O'Brien?
Yes, Dominique. Yes, yeah. Yes. I did reach out to her, and I said, this is what's happening in McAllister. I just wanted to give you a heads up, right? So in the township of Seguin, the Russell Market is managed by the community, basically, I guess. Like, Gail Moore is actually the market person that seems to be in charge. He was also a vendor at our market a couple summers ago. They are managed by vendors, I guess is the easiest way to say it. Every one of those people that I know that are on that that meet are vendors. So the vendors are running the market. There's your answer. It took me a long time to get there, but vendors are running the market.
And the one in Carling?
The one in Carling, vendors are running the market.
And Magnetowan? Maybe you didn't go that far afield, I don't know.
Yes, as far as I know, Jody Paul's mom is managing the Magnetowan market. Jody is a vendor with me, or with McCullough Market.
Well, the only reason I ask, and it ties in with the transfer, and it was interesting to hear you say that Roshan initiated, this is prior to my time, but he initiated the directive that you should be doing this on your own?
Yeah, so what happened there is on January the 5th, this is a discussion that started back on December 12th. And I don't know if it's a discussion that should be discussed in open committee of the whole, because it's an internal problem.
Well, I think what I'm interested in, and I think this is public information, the e-transfer system, since you're an employee of the township, and initially it was done that way, I guess, the money came here. Is that how it was done? I'm interested in the process.
Okay, so basically, the process for collecting fees.
Right.
Okay, so basically, prior to December the 12th, there and about, people would mail their application and a check into the township, right?
Right.
Okay, so prior to that, on site, it's my responsibility as the manager to collect fees on site. So that would be whatever there is. Like if I signed a full-time vendor up during the season, which has happened, I would collect the fees on site. That would be either by check or cash.
So it was sort of a hybrid then? Some people paid here and some paid on the site? Okay.
And you'd write a township receipt from a township receipt book?
Yeah, so I actually brought my working book with me tonight that you can all see what I do on a daily basis. And if you want to pass it along, it's very informative.
Well, we could have the Reader's Digest version. Just tell us.
That's only a week and a half worth. There's hours and hours of work goes into that.
I think what we wanted to deal with, I'm up here too with the e-transfer.
A couple pages.
And it's interesting to hear that you were doing things already. Since it is through the township, should the e-transfer, and I'll put this out for everybody's discussion, should it go through the township prior, and nothing personal, as opposed to going to a private individual and then coming to the township? I think that's the question we have to deal with.
I would comment on that probably the controllership policies and procedures expected of the municipality would be that the e-transfer would be set up through the township, a township bank account, and that Jan is signed on to that account somehow.
I agree.
The name on the bank account for the market is called
what? The McAllister Market.
Okay. Does it reference the town of McAllister? Township of McAllister? Sorry.
There's not enough room for Shara to put that township of McAllister, the McAllister Market.
Okay.
There's just, I wanted to, oh, here, actually, here. So right now we're sitting at, last year we ended out the year at $9,300. This year we've already met $9,300 and we haven't even started. So there you go. So as you can see here, it says the McKellar Market.
Okay.
And this was set up with a financial planner, Sarah, for me to collect funds and for the McKellar Market.
Okay. So to go back to answer your question there, how it was set up before, so applications would come into township office here, along with a check or a money order or whatever else. Staff in the township would have to then photocopy that stuff, provide documentation back to Jan, you know, Tech Deal, and there seems to be a lot of going back and forth, and this, like it seemed to be a lot of unnecessary work going back and forth. So now, with it centralized, with all coming to one spot, Jan gets to do all the stuff, and the paperwork gets done at her end, and then eventually filed with the township, with the check to Kelly, I guess, so he's working right now. So
what's really good about this, guys, is I can manage the budget, I can control vendor count, I can manage the market better.
Well, there's no doubt.
Oh yeah, we can see
because
it.
Because before it was just, it just wasn't working.
Can you explain how you match up here? If I understand properly, you only collect the money once you have a spot available for that vendor. Is that right? In other words, there's an application process saying I want a spot,
mm-hmm.
and then once it's agreed or once it's confirmed by you,
yep.
then you collect.
So
the money.
That's right, Nick.
Yeah.
That's right on the. Mike, can you read that out? It's right on my application. Can you read the whole thing at the top out for me?
Yeah. So the McKellar Market 2023 vendor application. The McKellar Market will reopen Saturdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Canada July 1st to Labor Day September 2nd and Thanksgiving weekend October 7th at Minerva Park, Highway 124. Christmas indoor-outdoor market November 18th, McKellar Community Center. New this year, applications will not be accepted at the township office. To centralize registration, all completed vendor applications will be received by Canada Post Mail at the McKellar Market, care of Jan Gibson, market manager, or address, or by email at email address Gibson. No drop-offs, please. Only fully completed application received by Canada Post and email with check money order e-transfer will be considered. As per market guidelines, returning vendors are considered first. Checks, money orders, e-transfers will be deposited once application has been approved. Please make check and or money order payable to Township of McKellar. E-transfers accepted at McKellar Market register at gmail.com. Okay, and then that's the password question. What are you paying for? Answer and
yeah.
gives the password. Please include notes stating your company name with e-transfer payment.
That's just so I can match everything up. I know everybody, but it just makes it easier for me to match. And if you look at my receipts there, you will see that they're all wrote out to the business name and also to the client's name. And you'll also notice that check number and is also noted on the receipt, so if we can track that, and also if payment was by e-transfer, it's on the receipt. Yeah, it's been a really busy week and a half for me, 10-12 hour days.
So this is fantastic. It's very streamlined, focused. I think it's a great way of it not having to be shuffled through so many hands.
Yeah.
Maybe the only thing that needs to be sort of adjusted is that the e-transfers are going directly to a township bank account,
mm-hmm.
something the auditor probably would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
So she just basically is wanting to get, as applications deadline, people were asking for it, so the
had pressure.
Was getting over the end of January, so this was put in a temporary process. If you guys want to decide to do something differently, then
it's great. Yeah, it's a good. It's tried and proven. It's shown that it works, and
it has reduced my time immensely. It's reduced a lot of frustration. It's been working well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reggie,
so that's my working manual.
I don't want to throw a wrench into things here, but this really isn't unique in that the dump still collects checks and cash for dumping stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it was stopped for a while.
Yeah,
and some places they don't allow it. But you're right, I think it's still happening here, I'm not really sure.
Yeah. We paid the Andy money.
Yeah, we still do.
So.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it was stopped a while, and some townships don't allow any cash transfer at the waste transfer. So
when I was hired, part of the hiring for Sean Boggs and Sherry Ridsdale, I had to do my criminal reference check because I was receiving funds. I also did, as far as I recall, and I'm trying to think back, I think my check was one step further. And it's because I would be associated with children.
Right.
Yeah. So that was what I did. And having said that, I think the township should be perhaps having it done, regularly. I know you're MNRB.
Jan, can you explain how the money goes from your bank account or the market bank account into the township?
Yeah, so Carly received a money order for, I don't know where that sheet is.
Yes, in that
a chunk of money.
Day we received this.
Can I have that CLBC Banks thing?
Yeah.
So the way the account was set up was the only way the money could be transferred out of here was on a money order to the
Yeah, so basically Carly on February the 2nd received $7,028 in money order. And then also that day, Carly, you received $1,600 in checks.
Yes. And then I gave that to Mary to make a deposit into the township's bank.
And then tonight I dropped you another check because I was coming, so I didn't have to make another trip over. So that's how the money has been transferred. So right now, the balance in the e-transfer is $435 because I had already dispersed the seven. And the checks are checks. They're just, So I photocopy. I photocopy all the checks, so I keep a copy for myself. I do a running statement, hand it to Carly in this case, right? And you gave it to Mary for deposit.
Do you provide a copy of the bank statement to Roshan or the township as well?
Yeah, I believe it was in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. No.
Yep.
It's just a question.
Yeah.
No.
It was in that package. Yeah. So in that package, Carly, you got the CIBC bank statement. And remember, I asked you if you'd be kind enough, and I'll tell you why. On two lines on this bank statement, I asked you if you would be kind enough to add that.
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you very much. So what happened was some vendors don't really read really well. And so they had sent it. It only happened twice because now I'm really on the ball. It happened twice that two vendors sent it and I didn't catch it. And if I had denied that receiving that money, they were going to get charged for they get charged $5 I think for canceling a e-transfer. So I knew I could fix it at my end, so they didn't get charged for the money, and I just made sure it was deposited in here.
Okay, I'm thinking we're at the stage, like you say, everything's worked along and working out fine. Maybe as Councillor Kekkonen referenced, moving forward, looking at the future, and we're also getting advice, I would hope, at some point throughout the year, not only from our auditors, but maybe a forensic audit that we're having done for the last 4 years, so maybe they can provide some advice, too, on the best approach for the municipality to take.
I agree, 100%. But I think this has been a really great exercise. It's worked well, perhaps I put the horse before, no, the cart before the horse. What's that saying, the cart before the horse?
Yeah, the cart before the horse.
But I'm really pleased with the way it's working. There's no way I would have had all this accomplished in a week and a half.
How long did it take last year to do it, when we finalized?
Oh my gosh, it was like, I mean, think of by opening day, I knew what was going on.
To be fair to that question, Nick, it saves a lot of time, both on Jan's side in the township, on the the office side here. Like, it would be months, you know, that deal.
I mean, it's a win-win.
And our staff are really busy anyhow, so I'm sure they appreciate that they don't have to deal with this.
Because that's what they'd be photocopying, sending a photocopy to Jan, and it's just a lot of work, so...
And I wasn't getting the applications, so it was a problem.
Just solves a bottleneck, right? And helps everybody, and vendors and the dentists.
I wasn't getting the applications, and then what happened was an application came in on December 12th, and I didn't, and it was on an old 2022 form, and I hadn't even put out a vendor call yet. So I found out about it on January 3rd from an irate vendor saying that she was upset that I didn't invite her back. And that just put me in a really awkward situation.
Yeah. See, if something gets missed, a vendor shows up on July 12th or whatever, it's expecting to be at or having the space for us. So, like, you know. It's important that everything gets...
So every week, I think I have them here. This would be good to show you. So it's a lot of planning. I don't know. They might be on my dinner table. Every week, so some weeks, like I'll have 65 vendors, okay? Maybe 45 of them are full-time. The rest of them rotate all summer long. So it's like I have a plan for each... I make a plan for every week. The full-time vendors stay in their spots, and then the other ones just fit in around them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big job.
Now, you had that other, it's probably out of order of the things you're going to talk about, but as 11th hour, you'd sent down that you've got the most of the regulars signed up, but you've got a waiting list now of 18, I think you said, and then... And I know you're asking the township for help on that, but... We're not creating land at the moment, so...
So right now I have 18 on a waiting list. That's Trestle Brewery, Aurelia's Sweet Shop from... it's quite long.
Yeah, we don't need the names.
And then 21... I'm waiting for 21 returning vendors.
Right.
Yeah. So last year, Reg, remember I proposed having two markets? We were going to do one and two, but it's just too much work.
But it gets to any point where market is full.
Full.
Yeah.
That's it. So
yeah, that's right.
You're full. You're this done. It's like going to a baseball game. That's doors full. Are closed. You don't have to be on nobody else.
It's just I have a hard time saying no to these people. Like, you know, like Trestle Brewery, yes, Matt, I'd love to have you, but, you know. But
we have to have a second day then.
That's right.
They're not a second location, a second day.
Yeah.
Come on, come out here. So e-transfers, I guess we'll set up a different count. When would that go into our effect?
It'll be a while yet, I think.
Okay.
I would say probably with what's happening right now, we just continue because our treasurer is not even here at the moment, and. So if things are working fine, I would say continue, and then we go from there. Moving forward, I think, is as Rob's suggesting.
And then we can, you know, look at that in a broader perspective, and if that's applicable in other departments, such as the waste disposal sites.
So. Right, yeah.
That's true,
might be a template, yes.
Yeah. So I once upon a time had a square for the McKellar Market, but I had to turn it in to Barb. What was our treasurer's name?
Correct.
Yeah, so I signed it back into Barb. So there is a square associated with the bank account here.
So there's different options that we can consider.
But you need to get it at the time of application, not the time of the individual market.
Yeah, the
right?
Square is good on site.
Yes.
But I did have problems because of the Wi-Fi is not good down there.
Right.
So...
personally.
Okay, what else on
okay,
the list
so
there?
July 29th.
Right.
Okay, so celebration, July 29th celebration. So right now, Minerva Park is filled for July 29th. All long weekends are sold out. Well, the whole market's sold out because I'm turning people away. So the main thing here is I had a verbal invite to move our market to the community center July 29th. That is like asking us to move Walmart to McKellar for a day. So, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so basically, by the 29th, our vendors have already had 4 weeks at the park. So they're settled into their environment at the park and have already designed their booth layouts to suit their space. Vendors are very anal about that. Moving a market for a day is very confusing for our customers, vendors, and added workload for the market manager. Our customers know the market resides at Minerva Park and has for 13 years. This being our 14th year, our MTO permit states that the market is at Minerva Park for the 2023 operational season, excluding Christmas, of course, because we're up here. Asking the market to move would cause more traffic congestion at the community center. Our Christmas market was a good indication of how much parking is required by our patrons. So you can just imagine if we take up the ball field on July 29th with vendors, like where is everybody going to park? Like, because our vendors were inside the hall and we had only a few out there, and we took up the whole space. So I don't know where the vendors are going to go. So you can just imagine by spreading out the festivities throughout the village on July 29th should not only help with the traffic flow, but will also encourage people to mingle throughout the village, making stops along the way at Middle River Farm, the general store, Scooby's, and will take added pressures off our vendors. I received the verbal about the ball field. Unfortunately, the ball field does not have the amenities that are required by our vendors. There's no hydro there. There's no shelter for our musicians. It's just, our vendors would truly miss the green space, you know? A successful business knows never to move a flourishing business. We would be we would like to thank the 150th committee for the offer for us to move. But at this point, I just don't think it's realistic to move our market because it would be very confusing for our water traffic. It would be confusing for our customers because they know the market's at Minerva Park. And not to mention when our vendors signed up for this gig, they think they're going to Minerva Park.
I think that's July 29th is going to require a lot of consideration and planning, considering that the market is taking place that day, 10 to 1, and the grand celebration unveiling the horse statue legacy project at the community center grounds and arena, you know, this vital parking here at the community center and the grand celebration taking place here at the community center that day is going to take some special planning and consideration.
Well, the first question, of course, is are people going to be able to park along the highway during that July 29th?
Yeah, so
I don't want to get back to
that's
that.
Probably a no, but so
no,
yeah.
I think that's valid, and maybe I don't know whether Councillor Haskin wants to take that back to the Sesquicentennial Centennial. That I mean, I was here for the Christmas market, and I can attest that it was a nightmare there for parking. And I can't see you having all those events taking place at this one location. So I don't know whether you can take that back to the committee so that you can organize it. I don't even know how it's been advertised for the 29th. I haven't seen anything said that the market's going to be here.
No,
no, not at all. Okay. I think it was going out as an invitation to the market to see whether we could marry each other and it'd be a win-win situation for both groups. I think being in one location, but with the Jan's explanations, and I take it as a recommendation to council that, and I agree totally, that it just would be too much for the grounds here. We do plan on a fairly large celebration that day, and I think McKellar, it's more beneficial to have the two separate locations, and people can easily intermingle the two.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's still a problem though with parking, because the McKellar Market is a full house at Minerva Park. It's a full house with parking here at the community center for McKellar Market. And then the grand celebration, you could have 1,000 people there that day. You know, McKellar Fair, consider it as comparable to the McKellar Fair. The grand celebration here at the community center, which is being occupied as a, you know, fully with the parking being used up by market patrons and to, you know, possibly some vendors that park up here. This is going to take a little bit of consideration and planning.
Hmm. I was thinking maybe renting out some land and maybe have a shuttle bus. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, July 29th. Hopefully the hang's done by that time of year.
Yeah.
Danny's in lab.
Yeah, right. No problem. They want to go that far.
Well, if we ever get around to talking about projects coming up, we can certainly see we're putting a rush on our development plans next door of creating more parking kind of thing to help offset for that day. So, yes, it's going to be hectic, and people will do what they do for all events, including the fair. They'll just park,
park on the road.
All along the road. It's,
yeah, so
I don't see it being beyond what the fair does as far as the amount of people in that. I don't think it'll be beyond that. And I come to the fair. Sure, you got to walk a fair distance sometimes, but it works. Yeah. People don't seem to complain about it. It's just the way
don't.
It is.
That's true. They weren't complaining walking down to the market. It was only 5 minutes. You know, and a lot of what they were doing is if they had elderly folks, they would drop them off the market, and then they would go park and then come down.
But the point here is that you got two major events taking place at the
like
same
Christmas
time.
Christmas market was only 35 vendors here, and that was the congestion we had. So if you now double that, so you're going to be looking at roughly 2,000 at a minimum of people showing up for the market.
Yeah.
Just to
we have about 2,000 go through in 3 hours. It's jam packed in there some days.
So it's going to be quite the logistics trying to organize that. So
yeah, just something to take into consideration now, well ahead of time. And but yeah, people don't mind walking down to the market. It's less than, you know, it's a couple of minutes, and it's a nice little stroll down there. But we've got two events, just so that it needs to be considered the amount of parking required externally, away, you know, some other external location.
So, Mike, you were right, because my overflow on my license say they go to the community center.
And three other places.
And three other places, yeah. Yeah, I had to, you know, say where my overflow is going. So it was, Rob, it was the community center, it's the downtown core, if there's parking available there, you know, in the permitted legal parking. And also, where else did we stipulate on the license here? But anyhow, so yeah, we're gonna have to really plan.
Well, I think it's as Councillor Haskins said, it's in our court too, because we have to look at this developing this lot. I think that's has to be done.
that would take some of it, and then I think we'll have to put some thought into whether we could run a shuttle. You know, whether it be for the 150 ceremonies or the market or both, and see if we can get property owners in the area, whether it be the campground up here, or see if we can locate other. And we've done it before. We'd run shuttle out of the community center here for when we had the event at Ward's Farm, the winter snowshoe and that, because there was no parking along Center Road. That would have been dangerous in that case. So we volunteers run shuttles.
Rosso has shuttles too, right?
As far as I know.
And the market.
And the market, yeah.
Yeah, so we
there's a lot of events. You know, the Bella Cranberry Festival used to run shuttle students.
Oh, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be amazed at how many volunteers would come forward with, you know, say, vans or whatever, and run shuttles as a part of their social for the day or their contribution as a volunteer.
I guess we just have to check about liability.
Right.
You know.
It's going to turn out like Woodstock. You just watch.
And I understand. Is there a beer tent? Poorly?
Not that I'm aware of yet.
Oh. Okay.
Nothing has been confirmed as of yet. It's being looked into.
Okay.
That'll be when Trestle's at the market.
Right. I don't know what I'm
going to
do with that, Matt.
Well, tractors and hay wagons.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so use of council chamber for Christmas, and then I guess now we're talking about the library. I had read the library's plan, and I understood. I didn't know about it. I had booked. I booked six vendors for the library inside, and then I find about they might making plans to change.
Yeah, but that's not going to take place until 24.
Oh, okay.
As far as I understand, 24.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's great. That's very good. So the use of the council chamber. So our market will possibly lose six inside vendors should council not see fit for the market to use the space. I personally will take responsibility to prepare the council chamber for our Christmas market. Public staff will not be asked to assist. The only request would be that the community center kitchen all-purpose room be ready for us as it is for any other one that's renting out our facilities. Last year, there was so much stuff we had to move. That all-purpose room was full of stuff. It was pretty stressful.
But that was put on Rodney.
And then Rodney. So we have to be careful about having help.
So was it overflow from storage that was in the multipurpose room?
Yeah, we just don't have enough storage, I guess.
Well, I know even when we built the building that came up, but difficult.
It's like building a garage. It's a garage.
I guess.
Anything else but your car, right?
Yeah, you don't exactly. Need another garage, right?
Rob just puts his tractor in there.
We